here's a story from The World.
One of the most outspoken voices in South Sudan has arrived in the U.S. seeking refuge. Peter Biar Ajak says he's fleeing for his life. Ajak is an economist. He's also a prominent critic of South Sudan's government that came to power after the country gained independence from Sudan 9 years ago. Since then, ethnic strife has defined South Sudan. Peace has been elusive. Ajak arrived at Dulles Airport this week with his wife and three small children escaping his country. I asked him why he was worried.
I received a word from my contacts within the government of South Sudan that the president of South Sudan had ordered the National Security Service to either abduct or murder me in Kenya. Now, I couldn't take this lightly in light of what happened in the past. Not only had I been a political prisoner in South Sudan for nearly 2 years, but when I was released, National Security stationed a military vehicle just outside of my house. I was being monitored and threatened, so I fled to Kenya. But also in 2017, two other prominent critics of South Sudan government were abducted in Kenya and brought to South Sudan, and then they were executed. So I knew that this is something I could not take light, and as a result, I seek refuge here in the U.S.
So you were essentially tipped off, and does that suggest that you have allies inside the South Sudanese government?
Absolutely. I was tipped up by very senior people, and I have been involved with South Sudan government in the past. I had been advisor to the Minister of National Security, working to reform the security service that are now trying to hand me down.
South Sudanese officials, as you know, say the idea that they wanted you killed is complete nonsense. That's what they say. So just take us through your reasoning. Why do you think your country's leader, Salva Kiir, would want you dead?
Well, first of all, it's not surprising that they will call it nonsense. I couldn't imagine them saying, indeed, we wanted to kill them, and it's expected that they will deny. But essentially, my criticism of South Sudan has been quite intense, especially since the war broke out. But not just only criticizing the government and pointing out corruption and the abuse of power that was taking place. But I then went ahead and reached out to the people of South Sudan by forming South Sudan Young Leaders Forum as a platform to organize the youth of South Sudan. So I start basically organizing young people, bringing people from different ethnic groups, and building a platform with this message that the current leaders of South Sudan, Salva Kiir, Riek Machar, and all of them, have failed our people. And what was needed was a generational exit, that this generation of warlords should leave power to create a space for a new generation of South Sudanese that can unite the country, reconcile our people, and chart a way forward toward development. And it was around that time that the president realized that I was a mortal threat to him, and the message that I was bringing to our people was resonating.
I'm speaking with South Sudanese economist Peter Biar Ajak, who's just arrived in the U.S., where he's taking refuge from the regime in his country. I remember those really joyous celebrations in 2011 when South Sudan gained independence, and 2 years later, civil war erupted. A peace agreement was signed in 2018, but true peace has still not come to South Sudan. Why is that? I mean, independence was such a struggle. Why'd things go off the rails?
Well, the problem is when we struggled for independence, there was already a lot of division among the people of South Sudan. The Khartoum government was using a strategy of divide and conquer. So when we finally got our independence, the approach became that using division and using chaos as a means of projecting power, as a way of running the country. So really the problem here is we have leaders that have no vision, that have no idea whatsoever of how to mobilize our people, that don't really understand even the responsibilities that come with leading a sovereign state. So they only understand power. And what they want to do that with that power is to enrich themselves, to enrich their families, and use coercive instruments to intimidate rivals, to arrest people, to assassinate people.
I think you alluded to this earlier. You spent 18 months in prison in South Sudan, starting in 2018. Why were you sent to jail, and how did that experience change you?
Every night from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. in the morning, you will hear people screaming. And you wonder, is this the knife? Is this the hammer? Is this the nails? Very, really scary screams. Mm. So most of the days I was by myself. Mm. They will turn off the light. I will be completely in darkness. Some weeks they will turn on the light. I will not even know what time of the night it was. It was very difficult to sleep. But it really allowed me to think deeply and allow me to see things that were horrific, but basically made me even more determined in what I was doing.
So, Peter, I know a little bit of your story. As a kid, you grew up as one of Sudan's so-called lost boys, always on the run during your country's civil war. You've been called too brave for your own good. You told us today you see the young generation of South Sudanese as a hope for the future. So do you see yourself leading South Sudan someday? And is that young generation of South Sudanese kind of your people?
I have a lot of faith in the young generation of South Sudan. And this includes the lost boys that had a chance to come here to the United States. We had access to education in American institutions. Now, the problem is the current leadership is intimidated by people that are educated. In South Sudan, if you're educated and you provide ideas that can take the country forward, you are seen as a threat by this corrupt and brutal regime that is currently in power. So I want South Sudan to have democratic elections that would allow these young people of South Sudan that have been educating themselves, that have been gaining experience, to come back and lead South Sudan to the bright future that our martyrs sacrificed their lives for.
Peter Biar Ajak is one of the most outspoken voices in South Sudan. He arrived in the U.S. this week and is now seeking refuge here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.